Good evening. Before we turn to Jeremiah, I trust that the Spirit of God has highlighted to our hearts and consciences throughout this conference that man is man, and he hasn't changed a bit. But on the other hand, the God is God, and he hasn't and will never change. But the same God who has never changed and he will never change, he is in the changing business. How many souls have been changed throughout the years? I don't know if you have it here, but we have it in the United States. And if you are interested in coming and seeing it, please drive across the borders to see it. Brother Gordon could identify to this, and the Stevens here. We have McDonald's there. Well, what's new? Well, our McDonald's is a little bit different than yours, because in so many places, there's the sign right beneath those yellow arches. It says, billions and billions been served. Well, what does this have to do with us today? I want to tell you that throughout the years, billions and billions have been changed when they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Beloved, how wonderful it is to be here, alive, and again, to sit under the sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, who has given us another day before it's too late. Yes, before it's too late. Jeremiah 8, verse 20. Starting at verse 18, my comfort and my sadness. My heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people. From a very far country is not Jehovah in Zion. Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images, with foreign vanities? Here it is. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the breach of the daughter of my people am I crushed. I go mourning. Astonishment hath taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no dressing applied for the healing of the daughter of my people? Beloved, I believe history is repeating itself. Like I said, nothing has changed with the human heart. The human heart is wicked from its beginning, from that moment where Adam disobeyed God. And it's still the same until today. As it was in the days of Jeremiah, so it is in our days nowadays, after thousands of years. How is your days, Jeremiah? My days are the people of God. They trust in the words of lies. They say it is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord it is. And then do they appreciate the Lord and his temple? Oh, you better believe it, they don't. And we are the same. And here we are. We've been brought out of the system and into the gathering place. And I'm afraid, beloved, that we have repeated the same mistake over and over. That we held on to the things and we forgot the Lord. We held on to the gathering and we forgot the Lord of the gathering. We held on to the many aspects, traditions, if I may call it, rituals, and we've forsaken the Lord Himself. Could it that be in our midst, Brother Ishmael? Why not? Why not? History over and over has proven that it has taken place. And in our midst, beloved, we could have those that a time would come, if the Lord would come even tonight, that they would say, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. This is a horrible fact you are sharing with us, Jeremiah. I know, but that's the truth. That's the hurting truth, beloved. And what is it? What is it? What went wrong? Why haven't you got saved? Isn't there a balm in Gilead? Isn't there a physician there? Beloved, we have the medicine. We have the physician, the Lord Jesus. Why is it that we haven't been saved yet? What is it that the Lord hasn't done that He needed to do and He didn't do it yet for you to be saved? Allow me to say this, dear brother and sister, dear friend, allow me to say this, that the Lord has done all things. God has given His Son on the cross of Calvary. God has sent His Spirit to convict your heart. God has sent His Word out. How many times you've heard the gospel? How many times you read a tract? How many times you clicked on the TV and you saw a preacher preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus, that thou must repent of your sins and come to a saving knowledge with the Lord Jesus? How many times you read on a billboard, we thank God for the freedom we have here in Northern America, beloved. How many times, over and over, the Spirit of God within you, convicting you of your sins and your conscience. How many times, over and over and over, still, you are still dead in your sins. Here you are, still enjoying your sinful life, not knowing that that sin will take you straight to hell. Not knowing that life in sin, life in the hands of devil, will take you straight to hell. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, I know it's a prophetic book, and it's a very interesting book, because we know that there are prophets that they spoke and prophesied before exile and after exile. But Jeremiah is very distinct because he spoke before and through, and he spoke also after what's going to happen. Jeremiah, beloved, Jeremiah 3, we see that two, if I can say this, in Jeremiah 2, beloved, the Lord referring seven times, and please when you go home find it for yourself, seven times as if the Lord is opening His heart. As if the Lord, He is sharing what is troubling His heart. And seven times He could say, my people forsook me. My people went away from me. And in that same chapter, we have the most famous verse. And that is in verse 13, where He could say, my people did the two evils. They forsook me. I, the fount of the living water, that they may go and dig for themselves cracked cisterns that cannot keep water. And the same is happening nowadays, beloved. My people have forsook me. I, the fount of the living water. But in chapter 3, beloved, we see the Lord five times, and please find it for yourself when you go home. He's calling His people, come back unto me. Come back unto me. He's reaching out His hands. He's opening His bosom. Just come back to me. And my message to you today will be, God has seven things for you if you were to come back to Him today. Because you are experiencing seven calamities in your life that will lead you to hell if you were to remain away from God. I want to start off real briefly in Jeremiah 3, starting at verse 22. God is speaking here. He's saying, return back, sliding children. Return back. I will heal your backslidings. And then the answer, behold, we come unto thee, for thou art Jehovah our God. Truly in vain is salvation looked for from the hills and the multitude of mountains. Truly in Jehovah our God is the salvation of Israel. But shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against Jehovah our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not hearkened to the voice of Jehovah our God. Let me start off by saying this, being away from the Lord is sickness and disease. The sickness is called sin, and the disease is called disobedience. Beloved, the plague is deeper than the skin. We're leopards. Beloved, let me say this, that we have been struck with the most horrible disease ever. It's not TB, and it's not cancer, and it's not all these names that diseases that I can't even pronounce them, but it is a disease that is formed with three letters, sin, S-I-N. And in the midst of that word sin, there is the I. There is me, myself, and I. There is that independency from God. And we all have been struck with that disease, beloved. It's to do your own will, and for me to do my own will. And how many times, beloved, over and over, we have disobeyed the first authority we face in our lives, young men and young women. How many times we disobeyed the first authority above our heads, and that is the authority of our homes, moms and dads. To go on to the school, maybe to church, to the society, and we disobeyed all these laws and authorities been given and put over our heads. And what was the consequence to that? Disobedience, wickedness, living insane, away from God. Jeremiah 2, the Lord told her, all I want you to know that you being away from me, you departing from me is wickedness and bitter. Are you tasting bitterness in your life? Know that it's the cause of one thing, because you are away from the Lord, your God. Because you are away from the Lord, from Jesus Christ, the one who loved you and gave himself for you. We read in Psalm 16 that their agonies, their pains will multiply. Those who have gone after another. When we forsake God and go after a person, after a thing, after a lust, after a sin, our sorrows and our pains will multiply. My beloved, I want to go quickly and give the answer. Lord, what do you have for those who are stricken by sin? Lord, what do you have for us when we come back to you and repent of our sins? What do you have? I have healing. He said to them in verse 22, we read it. He said, come, return back, sliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. What kind of remedy do you have, O God, for a sinner? What kind of medicine do you have for someone who have trodden your laws under the foot? I have my son. I gave my son, the one in the way of obeying me, obeying my commandments, doing my will, in the way of obeying me, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, you You were disobedient unto death. My son was obedient unto death. I have remedy in the blood of my son who gave himself for you. Would you come back tonight to God? Would you come back today to the one who gave his one and only son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Beloved, if you don't, woe unto you, because you will face the same judgment that came upon the Lord Jesus when he was on the cross. Beloved, sin cannot be forgiven. Sin ought to be condemned. And it's either the Lord Jesus took it for you and was condemned there on the cross of Calvary, or you will be condemned because you will have your sin with you. Sins can be forgiven when you come to God in the blood of the Lord Jesus and ask him to wash you away, and he will wash you away from your sins with his precious blood. Quickly, beloved, I want to go to chapter 4 to see what state we're in our sins and what God has for us when we would to go back to him. First one of chapter 4 of Jeremiah. We read, if thou, God is speaking, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith Jehovah. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith Jehovah, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not be a wanderer. And thou shalt in truth, in justice, and in righteousness swear as Jehovah liveth. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Being away from the Lord, you are a wanderer. Being away from the Lord, you are a fugitive. Being away from the Lord, you are like Cain. You will be a wanderer and a fugitive in the land. Naomi, she lost all. She lost it all. And if it wasn't for the Lord's goodness, that he remembered his people and caused her to hear in the land of Moab that God visited his people to give them bread in the land of Judah, she would have stayed there. She would have stayed there in wandering. She would have stayed there in the state of lost, being lost. Beloved, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, dear young ones and older ones. Those of us here who have lost this feeling of security. You don't have a feeling of security. You feel that you are lost, wandering. Proverbs 28 and verse 1, we read, the wicked runs away and there is no one after him. Are you feeling like you're running away and you don't know why and where and what's for? We are told that the animals, when they feel that there's a danger, they stop. The animals stop when they see a danger to think which way they should run. And here we are. We're running with all our might toward our doomed destiny. We're running from God instead of running back unto God. I was talking to the young people today. I was trying to make repentance very simple so they can understand it, so I can understand it again. Repentance is making a U-turn. Don't run from God. Run back unto God. And what do you have to these people when they would run back to you? When they would to come back to you? We read it. He said, thou not be a wanderer anymore. I love this verse in Isaiah 30 and verse 15. Please turn there with me. Isaiah 30 and verse 15 we read, for thus saith the Lord Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. There it is. No salvation and no rest away from God. We heard it today, and I want to repeat it over and over again because it tastes so good to repeat it. The Lord Jesus stood and said, come unto me. Don't depart from me. A day will come were those who did not want the Lord Jesus to be the Lord and Savior, he will tell them, depart from thee. Depart from me. But the Lord today is calling everyone and he's saying, come unto me. All ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Stop being a wanderer. Stop being a fugitive, even in the midst of the assembly. Even in the brethren meetings. Even here in our midst, you are a wanderer. You are a fugitive. You are lost if you have Jesus is not in your heart. But today, if you would come back to him, he will give you tranquility, peace with God. He will give you rest from your sins. He will give you the peace of God that passes all understanding. Peace with God, being justified by faith through Christ Jesus. And then peace of God to face all the circumstances of all your life. But quickly, beloved, I want to go to the third thing. And me and you, when we are being away from God, and we find that in Jeremiah 15 and verse 19. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, if thou return, then will I bring thee again. Thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vile, thou shall be as my mouth. Beloved, being away from the Lord, there's affliction. Being away from the Lord, there's dishonor. Being away from the Lord, beloved, it is a low living. People, young men, young women, please hear me out. There is a high cost for low living. There is a high cost for low living. You will pay for the cost here and there. You may enjoy your sins. You may enjoy living in sin here for a while. But the devil promises much and pays little. Beloved, I'm afraid that the devil has deceived your mind and your hearts. Promised you much with joys forevermore. Wrong! Dead wrong, it's a lie. Away from the Lord, you are in the hands of the devil. The Lord Jesus made it clear that there are only two fathers here. He said, ye are of a father who is the devil, and the lusts of thy father you will do also. But there is my heavenly Father, Abba the Father, he who gives every good and perfect gift. Which father do you belong to today? You cannot tell me I belong to the Heavenly Father and you're living in sin. You cannot convince me. You cannot convince me and tell me I'm an old backslider and you curse and you swear and you're living insane and you have relationships with all kinds of infinity and profanity. Beloved, let's use our minds. God cannot be mocked. Beloved, if we belong to our Heavenly Father, the Holy Father, beloved, what manner of men and women we ought to live. Is holiness the type of our life? Yes, we fall into sin, but sin became the exception in our lives, not the rule. If sin is the basics in your life, if sin is the rule in your life, I'm afraid that you're on your way to hell, my friend. Today, God is telling you, you are away from me. You are being afflicted. You are being dishonored. You lost your dignity. You come back to me. You come back. Return unto me. I will give you back your dignity back. Please read this verse with me. Isaiah 43. One of the most beautiful verses to my heart. Isaiah 43 and verse 4. And I believe this is to all of us. Yes, he's talking to Jacob. But put your name there. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee, and I will give men for thee and peoples for thy life. Naomi and Ruth in the land of Moab, they were living in dishonor. But when they returned to God, to the God of Israel, God gave them back dignity. If you were to come back to God today in the blood of the Lord Jesus, He will give you dignity. And to those who have received Him, God gave the power, the authority to be called children of God. What greater dignity than this, that you will become a child of God? There's no higher dignity than this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Quickly, I want to go to Jeremiah 24 to see another aspect of us being away from God. Verse 7. God is talking to Jeremiah concerning His people. When they were to come back, He said, "And I will give them a heart to know Me, that I am Jehovah, and they shall be My people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto Me with their whole heart." God is willing to give them a new heart, a heart to know Me. Please be assured, you being away from God, you are dead in your sins. Well, you may say, how is it that I am dead and I am here and I'm alive? And I am even in the meetings and attend Sunday school. Yes, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. You're dead. There's no relationship between you and God. You're dead in your sins and your trespasses. There is no communication between you and God. The line is broken. There is no relationship. God hates religion. This is what you're doing, is religion. It's rituals. God hates that. Please read Isaiah 1. I don't have time to go to it. Isaiah 1, God hates religion. He doesn't want religion. He's looking for a relationship with you, the young, with you, with all of us, beloved. He's looking for a relationship, a living, a loving relationship with Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus. You are dead in your sins. But when you were to come back to God, He will give you a heart to know Him. The Lord Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, "I have come that they may have a life and have it more abundantly." The question is not, are you a believer or not? Because we can't tell anymore. As Spurgeon could say, we need to put a sign on the back of every person to say, "I am a believer nowadays." That was true in the 18th century, and it's true today in the 21st century. Beloved, are you alive or are you dead? This is the question. Have you obtained life from the chief of life, from the author of life, from God Himself, from the Lord Jesus? And how can He give you life? He gives you life, as Peter could say in his sermon in Acts 3. He said, "And the author of life ye have killed." The author of life has died to give you and to give me life. Beloved, only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, can give you life, because He gave His life on the cross that you and I may have life. Please put religion away. Put traditions away. Put rituals away. And come to a living relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. Go please with me to Jeremiah 29. Very familiar passage. Verse 11. To see again, being away from God, where are we and what God has in store for us? "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, say Jehovah, thoughts of peace." Let me stop right there. God isn't waiting for you to condemn you. He's not holding the sword after you to bring it down upon your head. God loves you. God wants you back. God is opening His arm. We've heard it yesterday. The younger son, when he came back, when he decided to come back, we don't read that when his father saw him from far off, he said, I'm going to have that son come here and kiss my feet. He didn't say that. He didn't even wait at home. He ran out. He moved with compassion. And he moved out. He went out running. Imagine God is running to meet you today if you were to come back to him. The devil has deceived you by convincing you that God hates you, that God doesn't want you. It's a lie. I don't know about your earthly father. If your earthly father didn't set a good example for you, I'm sorry to say this, he didn't represent the Heavenly Father well. But I want to tell you of a loving Father who's waiting for you to come back. And his plans, his thoughts for you tonight are thoughts of peace. Continue, please, reading with me. And not of evil, to give you in your letter and hope. And ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, for ye shall search for me with all your heart. Listen to this. And I will be found to you, saith Jehovah. And I will turn your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith Jehovah. He's speaking about his people. Yes, God is gone. He did restore his people after 70 years. And there's a future application. That's not my case. But I'm talking about you. If you decide to come back to God today, God could say, and I will turn your captivity. You are captive. You are in bondage. You are in the hands of the devil. You are being in fetters of sin. You are in the chains of disobedience. You are in the hands of the devil. And you're going blinded behind him. And he's leading you to hell. The Lord Jesus, how wonderful it is. Please turn to Hebrews 2 to show you this great victor. What did he do to the devil? And by trusting in him today personally, that could take place with you. Since therefore, Hebrews 2:14, the children partake of blood and flesh, he, the Lord Jesus, blessed be his name, also in like manner, took part in the same, that through death, listen to this, he might annul him who has the might of death, that is the devil, and might set free all those who through fear of death, through the whole of their life, were subject to bondage. Come to the Lord Jesus today, and he will set you free from the bondage of the devil, from the bondage of sin, from the fetters of disobedience and transgressions. Just come back with true repentance. Make that decision and come to Jesus. And he will set you free. He will gather you. Turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 22, please. To see the sixth estate you ran away from God. Job 22 and verse 21, reconcile thyself now with him and be at peace. That's what we were talking about. Reconcile yourself now with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in thy heart. Listen to this. Verse 23. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. If thou remove unrighteousness from thy tents, and so on. But I love that. If you were to return to God, the Almighty God, you will be built up. Sin and being away from God has destroyed you, has brought destruction to you personally. Your personality is crushed. And if you're married, your family is at the stake of destruction. And if you have children and they're gone in the world, sin and being away from God is destructive. Death And if you were to go back to God today, if you were to turn again back to God, God will build you up. He will build up your personality. He will build up your home. He will build up your family, your wife, your children, your husband. Just come back. Naomi, God built her up when she came back to him. She was destroyed. She was crushed. She was bruised. She thought that there is no more hope for me. All is gone. Who would ever thought that Naomi would bear a son again? Yes, it was Ruth, but she held him and nursed him as her own son. Come back to God. He will build you up. He will restore you. He will build up your personality. He will give you trust in him. He will use you mightily. Please think of these words. Brother Jake alluded to them a minute ago. The Samaritan woman, she went out to the men. The Bible says, was very clear. Please go back to John 4 and read it. She went out to all the men of the city. And she told them, come and see a man told me of all I've done. Who in his own mind would go and do such a thing? And we know her past. Beloved, if the Lord Jesus in those 20, 30 minutes, he rebuilt her personality. He built her up because she came back to God. She had a personal relationship with Jesus. She trusted him as her own Lord and Savior. It wasn't through religions. But religion didn't do anything to her. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say it's worship to be in that mountain. Woman, I say unto you, neither in this mountain nor in that mountain, an hour will come, which is now, where true worshipers should worship God through spirit and truth. Beloved, religion separates us from God. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, came back that we may be reconnected with God, and he can build your personality and mine, build your home and mine, build your life, build our meetings. Our meetings as well, if we to go back in humbleness before the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14, a verse comes to mind, beloved. If my people, whom my name has been called upon them, if they humble themselves, if they pray to me, and if they turn away from their wicked ways, then and only then I will hear from heaven and heal their land and forgive their sins. Beloved, we all need to go back to the Lord. Lastly, back to the book of Jeremiah. And I kept this to last. Because it's very dangerous. The consequences won't be good, beloved, if we don't go back to God. Jeremiah 26 and verse 3. God is saying, let me start from verse 2. Thus saith Jehovah, Jeremiah, I want you to stand in the court of Jehovah's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in Jehovah's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Listen to this. Pre-adventure, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way. Listen to this. That I may repent me of the evil which I propose to do unto them because of the wickedness of their doings. Pre-adventure them, lest they would hear. Beloved, you who are outside of Christ, you who are away from God, I want you to pay close attention. The wrath of God hangs over your wickedness, and God's judgment awaits you. Hebrews 9:27, we're told, For it was appointed to all men to die, and after that, the judgment. My responsibility is to share with you today that if you don't go back to God, if you don't return from your wicked ways and turn back to God in humble repentance and genuine faith in the Lord Jesus and His death for you on the cross, if you don't, there is an evil that awaits you. God could say in Isaiah 29, evil and judgment, it's His strange deed. It is His strange deed. Beloved, His holiness imposes upon Him to judge. But first, He's dealing with you with grace. Grace, grace. And the era of grace is still here. And the gate of grace hasn't been closed yet. And the day of grace is still at hand. And we don't know when it will be shut. If you would come today, you will be spared from the judgment. And you can sing with Paul, therefore, now there is no condemnation on those who are in Christ Jesus. And you can relate to the words of the Lord Jesus in John 5:24, who could say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he who hears my words and believe on him who has sent me has eternal life. And he will not come unto judgment, but he has passed from death unto life. Please don't die. Please don't go and face God and His judgment. Please don't. Last verse, I want to read with you from Acts chapter 17. To show you that repentance is mandatory, it's not an option. To show you that repentance, it's an urgent thing, it's not a put-off thing. You cannot put it off. And if you're hearing the gospel now, you need to repent of your sins now. Apostle Paul in the Acropolis in Athens, he could say, God, therefore, in verse 30 of Acts 17, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they shall all everywhere repent. All men, everywhere. And it's an enjoyment. It's not a perhaps yes, perhaps no. It's not an option. It's mandatory, all men to repent. Why? Because He has set a day in which He is going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom He has appointed, giving the proof of it to all in having raised Him from among the dead. The same man that you are rejecting today, the same Lord Jesus that you don't want to be in fellowship with today, you don't want to be in relationship with today, He's the same man who's going to judge you and send you to hell. The same man who is calling today, come unto me, is the same one He would say, depart from me. My message to you today, don't stay away from God. Don't stay away in your sins away from God. The more you spend your life in sin, the more the bitter the consequences. The more you stay away from God, the more you'll be losing of your youth, of your energy, of your life. You're draining your life. This life God created to be for His honor and glory. This life of yours is not yours to spend the way you like. This life, it's for its originator, for its founder, for its author, God. And if you were to come back today to God, doesn't make any age you're in, 10-year-old, 20, 30, 80, it doesn't make any difference. God wants you now, and He wants you now. You come back to God today, and He will make something useful out of you. You will be a vessel fit for the use of the Master. Just come back to God. May we all bow our heads, and please, I would like to give an invitation. I was refrained so many times, beloved, from giving an invitation when I would to share the gospel among the assemblies. But beloved, I felt that wasn't of God. I believe we need to respond to the word of God. And I thank the many who has pointed that out to me. And today, I want to give an invitation. The invitation is so simple and nothing wrong with it. Are you convicted of the word of God? Have you seen yourself in one of these states away from God? Being away from God is horrible. Being away from God, you are dead in your sins. Being away from God, you are living a sinful life. Being away from God, you are in disobedience. Being away from God, you are a wanderer and a fugitive in the earth. Being away from God, you are insane. You are in a life of dishonor. Your personality is has been destroyed. Your home, your family, being away from God. God's judgment awaits you. But today, the Lord Jesus endured God's judgment on your behalf. When he was made sin, when he drank up the bitter cup that we were supposed to drink, he drank it all up on the cross of Calvary in those three dark hours. He didn't have to, but he wanted it to, because he loved you. Love brought him down. Love led him on. He loved you and he loved me, and I wasn't a lovable person. I tell you, I don't know about you, my sins were great. My iniquities were more than the hairs of my head. But he loved me. I don't know why. And he loved you, my friend. He's calling you today. I don't know what kind of life you're living, but I know one thing, being away from God, it's death. Death while you're alive. It's hell on earth. Come back to God today. I'm giving an invitation to those who have been convicted by the Spirit of God. I'm giving an invitation to those who have saw themselves in the light of the Word of God, that they are in the hands of the devil and they're going to a doomed eternity away from God. Be glad, my dear brother and sister, that the Lord Jesus is still opening his arms for thee. He's calling thee, come unto me. Just come, come as you are. Don't, please, don't stumble. Don't let anything stop between you and coming to him. He's calling you. He's calling you with the cords of love. He's calling you with this wonderful, wonderful voice of his. I have loved thee. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Just come. Come and tell him, Lord, I have sinned. I'm a sinner. Lord, life away from you is misery. Lord, life away from you is cold. Lord, life away from you is hell on earth. But Lord, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you, and I thought that I could find enjoyment. I could find happiness. I could find joy away from you, but I was wrong. I was dead wrong. I'm coming back to you. If you were to come back tonight with these words and tell him, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for a wretch, for a sinner, just as I. If you were to come back to him today, you could hear the Lord Jesus could say, he who comes unto me, I will in no way cast out. I will in no means cast out. He will embrace you. The Father will fall upon your neck and cover you with kisses. The Father will move with compassion and run to meet you. The Son will embrace you. The Spirit of God inside of you will assure you deep down in your heart that you have been accepted. You have become one of God's children. And to those of us who are the Lord's beloved, let's go back to the Lord. He is so good. He's been so good to us, even when we were away from him. Even when we forsook him. He went after Naomi to Moab, not to agree with her, but to bring her back. To bring her back, and he did, brought her back. And he used her again. Let's not lose hope. There is always hope in Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ.